Amen. Revelation chapter 9. Not many good things that we read about tonight, but it's chapter 9 and we have to go through it. It's a scary thing to those that are left behind here. Revelation chapter 9. We're in the Great Tribulation period. Last 3.5 years of that 7-year period on earth before Jesus returns to rule and reign. The church, the bride of Christ, will not be here to suffer God's wrath. We'll be with the Lord. We're not left behind. 7 seals on the scroll, which are being opened. As the 7th seal was loosed, released, we see 7 angels with 7 trumpets. They were revealed, and with each trumpet blown, severe wrath and judgment. So we got to the 7th seal, it was open, and it released 7 angels blowing on 7 trumpets. Severe wrath poured upon the earth. The first 4 judgments affected the environment. The things here affected the food source. Now the trumpets will directly affect man directly. We read of 4 angels sounding, or a trumpet, when we ended the last chapter in verse 13, an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth." After the first 4 were released, woe, woe, woe. Why? Because there's 3 more woes, 3 more judgments. And they're going to affect man. Now, those who made the home here on earth are going to suffer these woes. They didn't choose the Lord. Their home is here. And we're going to, in chapter 9, be getting into things and creatures that we don't know, that are hard to explain. It could be John is describing things that exist today, because he was living almost 2,000 years ago. Could be things that exist today, such as planes or helicopters or tanks or all kinds of things. Or it could just be things that God created to do his work here in the last days. He describes them like and as being, they could be just created by God and don't have to be things that we're aware of. In verse 1 we read, "Then the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit." Now you notice John sees a star fallen from heaven to earth. It's already fallen here already, not falling to earth. Fallen to earth. Could it be an angel, a star referenced as an angel, or an angel of Satan, or Satan himself? This fallen star to the earth could very well be Satan, because he's already here on earth, fallen. Luke 10:18 says, Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And so he was cast down to earth. And we know he's the prince of this world. In Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15, we read about Satan because of pride being cast down to this earth. So we know he's fallen and he's here, and so it could very well reference Satan. The 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. That doesn't sound like a good place, does it? He's given the key to the bottomless pit. The Greek word is abyss, or shaft of the abyss, it literally means here. So there's this huge shaft that goes to the abyss, a pit, a bottomless pit entered by a shaft. In Luke 8:29 and 31, we read about the abyss or the bottomless pit. Let's turn to Luke 8, verse 29. Luke 8, verse 29. For he had commanded, Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it often seized him, and he was kept under guard bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. They knew where they were going. He says, please don't cast us out so that we go there. You know, we read about another place, Tartarus, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, which is the deepest part of Hades. There is this place where demons are. And there's this place, you know, it's very possible this place could be on earth. As it tells us here, he was cast, fallen from heaven to the earth. A place, you know, the earth rotates. It rotates, so it could probably seem that it's bottomless because it rotates. And many believe there's a place in the center of the earth. I hope we never see it. It's a horrible place. If we could peek into the spiritual realm and what's going on, we would probably faint, because we're told in Ephesians about that spiritual battle against principalities and powers. And you hate even going through this, but this is how it is. You know, in Revelation 20, we're going to read about the abyss again. That's where Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years while we're living in these perfect conditions here on earth. And eventually, Satan, the Antichrist, all the unrighteous will be cast into the lake of fire, Gehenna, that permanent place. Now, it's not pleasant to think about these things. We should be glad we're saved and we're going to heaven. But he goes, he's fallen on the earth. He was given the key to the bottomless pit. So apparently this thing is locked, so they can't exit it, because he's given the key. But this angel could be saying, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. The whole place is covered with a heavy smoke. That's got to be a lot of smoke. Can you imagine opening this pit? It sounds unreal, doesn't it? But it's real. He's going to open this bottomless pit, and out comes this smoke. So great, like a smoke of a great furnace, that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. All is darkened. And something comes out of the smoke here once this door is opened to the bottomless pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Locusts come upon the earth. These are literal creatures, devouring creatures, and they're destructive. But it's not like your ordinary locust that we think of, a grasshopper. Apparently these things are big. But they're given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Anybody here ever get bit by a scorpion? No, they say it's very painful. You have? Does it hurt? Yeah. Okay, Claudia has. Okay. Well, you can relate to the pain of a scorpion, being bit by a scorpion. And a scorpion is a spider of the spider family with a tail with a poisonous stinger. Very painful, but it's not fatal. But you notice in verse 3, they were given power. So God allowed them to have this power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, these locusts aren't vegetarians like we think of locusts. They're man-eaters. They're flesh-eaters. They go after flesh. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree. See, in this we see one thing. God is in control. It's weird, isn't it? But God is in control, and he allows this judgment to come upon the earth in this way. They were told you can't touch the grass, any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They're not normal. They would usually clear a crop. They don't harm the vegetation, but They're not allowed to touch those that have the seal of God on them. Remember the 144,000? They're sealed by God. They're God's people. They can't be touched. Revelation 7, the 144,000 are sealed by God. Now, we read of locusts in Exodus 10, the eighth plague in Egypt. They devour the land. The job of these locusts here is to torment people. We see in verse 5, they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Isn't that awful? They were not given authority to kill them. These people, for 5 months, these people are not going to die. I don't know if there'll be any death for that 5 months, because God's in control of this, and no other plagues are coming during this time. They were told, don't kill them. Don't kill them, but torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. They were limited by God. Powerful sting like a scorpion. And they have this intense, the word actually means intense pain. So bad that we read in verse 6, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. Can you imagine being at that point where you're seeking death and you can't find it? This is a horrible time on earth. They will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. They won't be able to die. Painful suffering, but no death. The shape of the locust, now we see what these locusts look like. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. So I don't know if they're that big, but that's what they're like. John related it to horses prepared for battle. Now, that would be strong, awesome looking, like, you notice, like horses prepared for battle. And on their heads were crowns of something like gold. That shows that they're crowns to conquer. They're going to rule over men. Crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. That's a weird creature. Locusts look like horses to him, probably that big and strong, and crowns on their head, and faces were like the faces of men. Ferocious. They could be demonic beings that God just allows to come on this earth and bring his judgment. And that's what it sounds like. Something that we're not aware of. On their heads were crowns of gold, their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair like women's hair, which means they probably had long hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. Boy, these things must look ferocious. Now, I wonder sometime if we're going to see this being with the Lord. I don't know. Then that wouldn't be heaven, would it? No. I don't think we want to see that. But that's going to be an awesome sight. Their hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. Wow. And they had breastplates on, like breastplates of iron, like they're going to battle. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. So, breastplates of iron. Could be John sees metal. These beings are like metal, having metal on, like iron, and noisy like chariots. So some people say could be some vehicles, like tanks or artillery or something that we're familiar with today. But we know they're controlled by God, and these are creatures that look like this. But they sound like chariots, which would be very noisy, and noisy as horses running into battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. So They had power to hurt men. As you read through, we could think of modern day things we have that you might identify this with. Helicopters, germ warfare, modern day things. But John had a hard time describing this, or it could just very well be beings created by God or demonic beings that are just let loose to come and harm the earth. We don't know about all of God's creation. We know it's here, but we don't know the heavenly scene, those that have fallen, what exists, what God created totally. We know what affects us. Are they actual locust-like, or what, the way we know it, or could they be machinery or things powered by demons? Only God knows. But we know they're creatures because they do have a leader, and we see that here in verse 11. They had a king over them, so they had a leader over them, probably guiding them. And the angel of the bottomless pit, he's the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name of Apollyon. Those names don't even sound good. The leader is called Abaddon in the Greek, and Hebrew, Apollyon. So we see Hebrew and Greek here, and it means destruction or destroyer. So that's the name of the leader, destruction or destroyer. And, you know, their purpose is to destroy. And what does Jesus say about Satan, the thief? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's the purpose of these beings, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, this woe goes on for 5 months. Now, you would think that after 5 months, well, even in chapter 8, what we read of, and people knew it was from God, and now these things happening, very scary things, wouldn't you think people would repent? You know, sometimes we think about people that are lost and we think, if only they could hear this or if only they could see this, they would really believe. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, it's faith. It takes faith. We pray for people to have faith to open up their heart to Jesus. These people, after living through these 5 months, will not repent. One woe is past. Remember, there were three woes. The last angel said, woe, 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 because there were three more left. So now there's two left. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. That's sad. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Could be, you know, a voice from the altar. Could be, when you took back to Revelation 8, verse 3, you know, another angel having a golden censer stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And then in an earlier chapter, we read about the martyred saints under the altar. So it could very well be, as that sixth angel sounded from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, because they were praying, how long, God, how long before you take care of these people? Well, it looks like this is the time, the answer to the prayer. Saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So now there's going to be something else released. The voice said to the sixth angel, release more judgments. Release the four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates. We read about the river Euphrates in the book of Genesis. That's one of the rivers that was in the Garden of Eden, by the Garden of Eden, the Euphrates. That's in the area of Iraq. And we know a lot of bad things come out of that area. Always have. And these four angels seem to be satanic. Why? Because we read here in verse 14, release the four angels who are bound. See, the good angels would never be bound. So these are probably other fallen angels. And we know at Lucifer, a lot of angels fell. And so these, though, these that fell here, he says, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. These angels have been bound for this specific day and time in history to do God's work of judgment here. And what are they going to do? So the four angels who had been prepared, they were prepared for that hour and day and month and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. So these four angels are released, and their purpose was to kill a third of mankind. Now, we've already read of a certain amount of people dying. Now with a third of the people dying, we probably will have left. That's about 50% of the people gone now that it started with during this tribulation period. Now that a third, because I forgot how many the last time, but they killed a third, one-fourth were killed prior to this, we read about. And now a third of mankind, about half of mankind will be left. So a lot of people have died so far, about 50% left. And now the number of the army, so they have this army, the four angels, that are released to kill a third of mankind, it's going to be done by this huge army. Now the number of the army of horsemen was 200 million. And John, here's the number of them. 200 million releases a huge army. These angels will lead them. Now, 200 million could be a combination of nations left here, army made up of those unbelievers that have been left here. In this day, people would never believe you could have an army of 200 million. China has that today. Countries have that today. That's no problem, rounding up 200 million people. So he heard the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Can be a combination of it could be a combination of nations, as a lot of people think, or it can be just demons involved. We don't know. We don't know what's going on here, who God is using. People try to place all of these in things that we know of, like machinery and artillery and armies and people with large armies. But it could just be that they're just using demons involved or huge armies that people have today that are unbelievers. And John saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. There's people that go and look at, well, who has a red, blue, and yellow flag? Well, you can do that too. If you want to make all this fit into what we know, well, people can probably find ways to do it. The simplest thing is to just say what the Bible says. This is what God has ordered to be done, and it's done, and how he does it, we don't know. The problem with trying to make it fit into terms and things we know, what if what we know and things we have are destroyed or not different later on? Then people would say, well, see, you're preaching false doctrine. We don't know how things are going to be near the end. Who knows there's going to be that many people left? We at this time, we don't know. Because when he says a quarter of the earth and then a third of the earth, we don't know the number of the people. But we don't know if it's just God doing this, or if he's using demons, or if he's using things we can identify with. That's up to God. All I know is, when you read the rest of verse 17, the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. Out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. I know we don't have people or things like that now today. Out of the horses The heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, looked like lions. And out of the mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, what's interesting, it isn't from the people or the army that does the destruction. It's out of the mouths of the horses. Isn't that interesting? It's out of the mouth of the horses. John sees the horses and the riders, you know, the breastplates on, the colors, heads of the horses, ferocious like lions. Out of their mouths come fire, smoke, and brimstone. Like I said, some believe there could be some weapons or just these horses and riders created by God. But the people are killed by the horses and not the riders. So it's these horses that God uses here, these creatures. And by the three plagues, these three plagues, fire, smoke, and brimstone, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouth. So more people being killed. So for their power, see, their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. So it's the powers not only in the mouth, but also in the tails. And they have heads and harm them with them. You know, they have their tails are like serpents. Now you've probably seen movies or things like weird things like that, with all these serpents coming out, having heads, and with them they do harm. But I wonder if we saw these things today, what we would say. Wow, that was 2,000 years ago. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, so there's still some people left. Now, surely, after all they've seen, they would repent and turn to God, right? Still no. There are people, you know, and you have loved ones that don't know the Lord, and you think about them being left here in the tribulation period. And, you know, some people think, well, that's not really fair. It's going to be a horrible time. But we see that even when they do know that it's from God, they still won't repent. So God is fair. See, God, the problem is never with God. He is merciful and just. And he gives man an opportunity. He knows the heart of man. We think at times, well, if only this, if only this. But we see here, it doesn't work. That there are those that no matter what they, what really blows my mind when we get to the end of the book of Revelation, after the 1,000 years of perfect peace here, and then Satan's released, there's going to be a huge revolt against the Lord after having perfect peace for 1,000 years. You'd think, wow, people would be crazy to rebel against the Lord after that. They're going to do it. It's the heart of man. But the rest of mankind was not killed by these plagues. They did not repent of the work of their hands. See, they were worshiping idols, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. They didn't follow the Lord or serve the Lord. They turned to following other things, idols and demons. So God is not in their thoughts. They're worshiping false gods at this time, not God worshipers. And verse 21, so they would not repent, but then verse 21, and they didn't repent of what they were doing wrong either. They did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries. It literally means drugs, this word. They didn't repent of their murders, of their sorceries, the pharmakia, the drugs, or their sexual immorality, which is so rampant today, just so rampant. It's just sad what you hear today. How many people, even people that call themselves Christians, live together. It's just terrible today. And you don't hear many pastors talk about it. It's sort of accepted a lot. Sexual immorality is mentioned a lot in the Bible. It's a big thing with God. It's not a big thing with man today, but it's a big thing with God. And it's even right here. They wouldn't repent of their murders or of their sorceries, drugs, or their sexual immorality or their thefts. They just would not repent of their sin. God is just. You know, in Mark 1, verse 15, where Jesus first speaks out about the being saved, he says, repent and believe in the gospel. Those were the words of Jesus in Mark 1, 15. Repent and then believe in the gospel. We keep seeing this here. They don't repent. They don't repent. They don't repent. You can't just say, I believe in Jesus. See, that's what he's telling us. In verse 20, they're worshiping a false god. People worship a false Jesus today. It's their own Jesus, to their own liking. They don't like certain scriptures. And in verse 21, they don't want to change their lifestyle either. They don't want to get rid of their hate or their murders or their sorceries, their drugs or their sexual immorality or their thefts. They want to continue on. So we'd have to say God is just. And so he's now judging sin, and it's really horrible. And next week, we pick up chapter 10 and read about the little book. Lord, we thank you for your word. We read these horrible things and we wonder, how can people not repent? Lord, in this age of grace, we wonder, why don't people want you, Lord? And you've told us in John, it's because they love darkness more than light. Father, we pray that people would open their eyes and heart to Jesus. We pray that we would be used to share truth with people, that doors would open for us to share these things we read of today. It's going to be a horrible time for those left here, Lord. And the sad part is, they don't repent. We would just pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom on how to deal with people, how to live out our faith so that we're good examples, and what words to share. Keep us excited about the Word of God so that we're equipped and we know what to share, Lord. We know you're loving and merciful and kind, and you don't desire that any perish. Lord, so use us to share that. We do pray that we would stand fast, that we would not waver in our faith, and that we wouldn't question, why is this time so horrible? But we would know that you're a fair and just God, and you give people every chance to know you. Even in this period of the Great Tribulation, you bring them to the point of seeing you work, and horrible things happen here, and yet they won't turn. So let us remember that and not challenge you ever, but know you're gracious, merciful, and loving. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.